Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I'm just going to read three verses, starting in verse 28. I'm going to read the last three verses of Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find. I've been debating about what to say this morning. I'm always hesitant to say too much about myself because I, for one thing, I don't want you to think I'm complaining because I'm not complaining. And for another thing, I don't want you to think I'm bragging because I don't have anything to brag about. But sometimes, aren't there times when you just need to rest? This week was one of those weeks for me. I was at five hospitals in five different towns this week. And it wasn't the travel. That's not the point. The point is five people. Who needed medical care and medical treatment and rehabilitation services, and five people who are going through difficulties and problems. And I remember in particular, I don't remember which one it was, but I remember I was coming home from one of those hospitals. I believe it was Thursday. I was coming home from one of those hospitals, and before I left that town, I got a phone call about somebody else who was in a hospital in another town. And I remember thinking, my first thought was, Lord, I'm wore out. I just can't do this anymore. And then I thought, man, these poor people. And so I thought about this passage of Scripture, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And I thought about the rest because I was tired. I was worn out. And I was a little discouraged, I guess, if I'm being truthful and honest with you this morning. And this passage of Scripture has always been a little bit difficult for me to understand. Because verse 28 talks about rest, and verse 29 talks about the yoke. And the yoke is symbolic of work, of a burden even. And I thought, how can that be? How can Jesus promise rest and tell us to take up the yoke? Didn't make sense to me. So I got to looking at this passage and thinking about it and praying about it and studying it. I wanted to preach on it this morning. And so I got the message already, and I came to church this morning, and I was running a little bit late anyway, and you wouldn't believe the things that have happened this morning since I got to church. And then Becky sang that song. And there is rest, and there is peace, and there is encouragement spiritually in Christ. But we have to take up the yoke to find the rest. In verse 28, those folks who were burdened and heavy laden were those Jewish people who were trying to obey the law in order to gain salvation. They were trying to be made righteous by the works of the law. There was a problem in that. The law was never intended to bring us salvation. The law was never intended to make us righteous. And for the Jew in particular, the Old Testament and then the early New Testament Jew, the law was burdensome. There were so many rules and regulations, people didn't even know. There weren't copies of the law running around. Like we have the Word of God today, they didn't have a bunch of copies of the law of Moses that you could take home and study and figure out what it meant. So they had to rely on their religious leaders to tell them what the law said. And the problem was the religious leaders didn't know what the law said. They couldn't agree, and so it was burdensome, it was tiring, it was discouraging, it was impossible to keep, and then it became worse by the religious leaders offering their interpretation of what the law said, and that only made it worse. And so here were these Jewish people doing their best, working hard, physically, mentally, spiritually working hard to obey the law, and it just wasn't working. And about the time they'd get something figured out and think they were obeying the law, along would come a new rule or a new regulation from the scribes and the Pharisees, and boy, here we go again. And so Jesus said to those folks, said, listen, if you would come unto me, I would give you rest. The answer is that they needed to trust in Christ and forget about the law and serve the Lord. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know what, we still do that. We have all kinds of folks who are unsaved who are trying to earn their salvation. And then we have Christians, and boy, this is going to sound a little bit bad, so please kind of hang with me. I don't know if I'll get this all explained this morning or not. Maybe I'll have to have a follow-up next week. But we have Christians, we're trying to work hard enough to keep our salvation. Neither one of those things work. And both of those things become a burden, oppressive, and it wears us out. So I wanted to talk this morning about three things. I want to talk about the two of the burdens that the people in verse 28 were bearing, because we bear the same burdens today. Maybe we don't know it, maybe we don't define it this way, but we do. The first burden is the burden of failure. These folks in verse 28, they knew they'd sinned. They knew they'd been disobedient to God. They knew they'd failed God. They knew they'd failed to keep the law. They knew they had failed, and they didn't feel like they could do anything about it. People today, saved and unsaved alike, we feel the burden of failure. We fail God. And saved and unsaved, we fail God. The Bible talks about the certainty of our failure. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Certainty of failure. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. When even then Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, since that moment, every human being, with the exception of Jesus Christ, every human being has been born with a bent toward sin. We call it a sinful nature. And every human being who has walked the face of the earth, including Adam and Eve, and to the end of time, with the exception of Jesus Christ, has failed. We've all sinned. Somehow, sometime, some way, God makes us aware of our failure, of our sin. He gives us knowledge of our sin, and that becomes a great burden to bear. Sometimes we don't even realize that we're bearing that burden. We handle it in different ways. Different people handle it in different ways. You've probably done some of these. I have. Some just try to deny the sin. You know, they just refuse to believe what they know is true. Oh, no, I haven't sinned. You know, I know the Bible says everybody sinned, but it doesn't include me. I'm really okay with God. You know, I'm a good enough person that I've sort of tipped the scales in my favor because I'm a really good guy. So I'm really okay with God. Or here's my favorite. Well, not my favorite, but one of the things that strikes me as odd the most is people saying, well, me and God have got our own thing worked out. Like the Bible doesn't apply to me. I haven't sinned. Me and God have got this. Just between me and Him, it's a secret. Nobody else knows. We deny. And the denial becomes a burden. Because somewhere in the deep reaches of our mind, our soul, we know, I sinned. I failed. And the sin is a burden. And the denial is a burden. Some people try to cover it up. You remember David and Bathsheba? He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he tried to cover it up. And the cover-up led to another sin, murder. We try to do that. We try to hide our sin, try to keep it a secret. We try to convince ourselves that nobody knows. We try to convince ourselves that God doesn't know. I know he sees all, I know he hears all, I know he knows all, but he doesn't know this. And the truth is, God does know all things. He knows our sin. And guess what? This is going to come as a shock. Other people know it too. We think we're hiding our sin, but we're not. And so the cover-up becomes a burden because we get paranoid. We think, oh, I think they know. I better do a better job of covering up. So the sin is a burden, the cover-up is a burden, and it becomes an oppressive weight. And some people try to justify their sin. Oh, I tell you, I run into people all the time justifying their sin. Well, Adam blamed God for his sin. You remember that? Adam said, the woman you made me. Eve blamed the serpent. The serpent deceived me. And since we're the descendants of Adam and Eve, we've taken on that character trait, and we blame anybody and everything that we can to justify our sin. Well, it's society's fault. Society's sinful. You know, if you're going to live in society, you got to do this stuff. So it's society's fault. Or it's the school's fault. You know, they took prayer out of the school, and they took the Bible out of the school. It's the school's fault. What's my family's fault? My folks didn't raise me in church. They didn't make me go to church. They didn't teach me about God. It's my mom and dad's fault. Some people blame the church. It's the church's fault. You know, that church doesn't preach the gospel. I mean, I don't know what the gospel is, but I know they're not preaching it. We blame other Christians. Some people, I've had people tell me, well, now, Pastor, I can't come to your church. So, what's the problem? Well, oh, so-and-so goes there, you know, and I know how they live their lives, and I'm not going to be in a church with somebody who's a hypocrite. Don't mind spending eternity in hell with them, but I can't come spend an hour and a half on Sunday morning with them. See, we justify. If somebody else is messed up, I'm not as messed up as they are. It's somebody else's fault. It's not my problem. So we justify. And the justification becomes a burden. Because we know that we've failed. We know that we've sinned. And so all of the things that we do, instead of confessing that sin, all the things that we do become a burden for us to bear. And we get worn out mentally. We get worn out spiritually, and we get worn out physically. The only way to be free from the burden of sin, if you're carrying that burden this morning, saved or unsaved, let me tell you, the only way to be free from the burden of sin is to confess your sin. Repent to God, ask Him to forgive you. And He will lift the burden, and He'll give you rest. The next thing is the burden of fruitlessness. And maybe Christians carry this burden a little more than the others. I mentioned when I started that the law was impossible for people to keep. It just was. There are just too many demands, too many complicated things. The scribes and the Pharisees had complicated it even more. They had determined that you could only, in order to keep the Sabbath holy, to not break the holiness of the Sabbath, they decided that you could only walk a certain number of steps on the Sabbath day. I have no idea how many there were. Let's say there was 200. I don't know. So if you lived more than 200 steps from the temple, you had to get within that 200 steps before the Sabbath day so that you wouldn't break the Sabbath. The Pharisees had decided, especially for them, that when they washed their hands, they had to be dried a certain way. So you wash your hands up real good, and then you know, kind of pull your sleeves back, and you hold your arms up like this, and you're air dry. You let the water drip down your arm and off of your elbow until you're dry. And if you don't do that, you're breaking the law. It's a sin. And on and on and on and on they went. And pretty soon the people realize, I can't do this. All of my efforts are in vain. And the burden of fruitlessness became heavy. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Acts 13:38 and 39 says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him, that is Jesus, all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Somebody finally figured it out. These Jews finally figured it out. Every time I think I got it right, the Pharisees changed the game. And no matter what I do, it's not enough. I don't do it long enough. I don't do it well enough. I don't do it right. Whatever, my efforts are fruitless. And I just, can't you feel? I can feel the burden even as I'm talking about it. We do the same thing today. We do the same thing today. People are still trying to be saved by their works. I'll perform some great work. Maybe it's religious work. Maybe it's a great work for society. Maybe it's a great work for the needy. I'll do some great work and I'll earn my place in heaven. I'll make some great gift to the church. Man, I'm going to earn millions of dollars and I'm going to build a brand new building for that Free Will Baptist Church. And I'll earn my place in heaven. I'm going to become famous, or I'm going to become achieve success in the politics. I'm going to become so important that I'll earn my place in heaven. Now, I know you're thinking, you can't do that. But listen, people are trying all the time to do that. And we're enforcing that, reinforcing that. When some great political leader dies, what do we say? Oh, they're up in heaven. We have no idea how they lived their life, but they were a great leader. They must have earned their spot. Some famous movie star, television actor dies. Oh, well, they're up in heaven looking down on us now. We have no idea how they lived their life except they were famous. They must have earned a spot in heaven. The wealthy die. Oh, they're up in heaven. We have no idea how they lived their lives, but they were wealthy. They must have earned their place in heaven. And then, of course, we have people who try religious things to earn their salvation. I'm going to join the church. I'm going to be a member of the church. That'll make me a Christian. Or maybe it won't make me a Christian. Doesn't matter. But I'm going to join the church and I'll earn my spot in heaven. I'm going to go every Sunday. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to go every time they have service. I'm going to be there and I'll earn my salvation. Or I'll teach that Sunday school class. Or I'll make a great contribution. I'll get involved somehow in the church. I'll support the pastor. I'll call him every day and tell him he's doing a good job. I'm going to work hard in the church. Now, don't misunderstand me. Nothing wrong with working hard in the church, but working hard in the church does not save us. And when we try that, when we try to earn our salvation, it becomes an oppressive weight because we realize sometime or another, we realize it is fruitless. No matter what I do, how much I do it, how long I do it, it's not enough. And so we read this passage of Scripture and it says, come unto me all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and think, boy, that's me. I'm working so hard. It's such a burden to try. And Jesus says, I'll give you rest, but we don't get the rest. How can that be? I'm working hard. I'm doing all this, but my efforts are fruitless, and I'm a failure, and I feel this burden. But Jesus promised rest, and I don't get it. I don't understand it, and I don't have it. How do I get it? The answer is the first three words of verse 28. Come unto me. Jesus said, come unto me. I think sometimes as Christians even, we work so long in Christian service, and I hope I'm saying this right. I hope this is coming out right. I think sometimes we forget about the grace of God. I think sometimes that we forget that in order to be saved, in order to be a Christian, we come unto Jesus. And we say, Jesus, I have failed. I have sinned. And there's not a thing in this world I can do about it. Would you please forgive me? And when we do that, the burden's lifted. And then we find rest. And that brings us to the blessing of forgiveness. Romans chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Did you catch that? The blessedness of the man unto whom God gives righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Happy is the person who has confessed to God and God has given them forgiveness of their sins and made them righteous without works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by the grace of God through faith in God. I want to say that again because I think we forget that. We are saved by the grace of God through faith in God. That's it. Period. End of sentence. Salvation is completely, totally, 100% the work of God. All we do is receive it. And when we receive His forgiveness and when we receive that salvation, the burden of failure is lifted. It's not mine to carry. I can't carry it. Jesus carried it to the cross of Calvary and He lifted it there. And so when we trust in Him and believe in Him and accept His forgiveness, the burden of failure is lifted. Romans 3, verse 28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. When Jesus forgives us of our sins, He makes us just as if we had never sinned. Impossible to understand. We have memories. Some of them aren't very good. Mine is not very good. But we have memories, and we remember things that other people have done, and we remember what we have done. God's memory is completely controlled by God. And when we confess our sins to Him, He washes them away just as if they had never happened. When God looks at us after we've confessed our sins and He's forgiven us and the blood of Jesus has washed our sins away, when God looks at us, He sees a sinless, holy, righteous, justified child. Nothing at all that we've done. We've simply confessed and said we can't do it. And God has forgiven us. When we receive the justification that God gives, it's all the work of God. Then we find relief from the burden of fruitlessness. Christian, sometimes we fall into a little bit of a trap. And we think, yeah, I know I was saved by grace through faith in God, but it's up to me to keep my salvation. Well, I've got to work hard. We think we're kept by our works. We're not. We're saved by the grace of God, and we're kept by the grace of God. Now, do not misunderstand me. As Christians, there are things that we are going to do. There is a yoke. Jesus said, come unto me, and you'll find rest. Take up my yoke. There is a yoke for us to carry. There is work for us to do, but we are kept by the grace of God. And boy, when we can understand that and we can rest in His grace, then the labor, the yoke that we bear, is not burdensome. The work is not burdensome because we do it out of love for God. And we find rest in our labor. We find peace in our labor. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Sherry, would you just come and play a verse on the piano? Bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. I want to ask you just one question. Are you tired? I don't mean physically, although you might be physically tired, but I mean are you tired? Are you discouraged? Are you just worn out from trying to please God? Maybe the problem is you haven't accepted the grace of God. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you know it. And you feel the burden and the pressure of all these things that we've talked about, and you'd like peace and you'd like relief from that burden. I'm going to tell you the way to be relieved from the burden of guilt for sin is to confess your sin to Jesus Christ. You don't have to give Him a list. Just say, Father, I confess to You I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And the burden will be lifted. Forgiveness will come. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christian. But you've been trying to keep your salvation by the things that you do, and you're just worn out, spiritually exhausted, spiritually discouraged. Would you trust in the grace of God this morning? And maybe you would just say, Father, would You forgive me for trying to do this myself? If you have a need this morning, you come, we'll share a place. Thank you for coming this morning. I appreciate your attention. Come back tonight at 6. We're in the book of Judges. We're going to be talking about Gideon tonight. Yes, sir.